Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw, The Vinny and Haney Show, 105.7 The Fan.
Felt okay. Forearm feels great. You know, maybe a little bit rusty, but I kind of grinded with what I had. Kind of went from there.
You know, he's ticked down a little bit here lately, and JJ, you know, and a couple comments have been made to me, you know, what do you think about these guys, you know, kind of going backwards a little bit, and they're supposed to. That's probably one of the most impressive things about Jackson Holliday, you know, is how Jackson manages his failure, and that's why a 21-year-old kid is going to be has been so successful and will continue to grow. Those other two kids have the same trait as Jackson. He hung in there. I thought the stuff was good. I thought the misses were big. He ultimately got three outs. Unfortunately, the third out got past the catcher. Kind of a tough night for that. Just really unfortunate right there in that inning.
Very weird. Very weird season. Just the start of the year got us behind the eight ball, and we had a good little winning streak there for a little bit, and just couldn't get on another one to get us back in the hunt, and just kind of got ourselves in a deep hole that we couldn't get out of at the beginning of the year.
It's Gunnar Henderson, Real Stud Shortstop, talking about the reality of their season, which isn't over yet, so 11 games. But for the first time in 3 years, no playoffs. Orioles were mathematically eliminated yesterday as Houston and Seattle both won as they're battling it out for the AL West championship. But the Orioles, even though they win, they're 10-4 here in September. There's just been too many behind the eight ball situations for them. Started that way. Gunnar, let's not forget, started the season on the IL. Because he got hurt down in spring training. Then the injuries piled up to the point where the next player that plays for the Orioles in the final 11 games will be, what, the 69th guy? Which is one player behind the record from the Marlins for players in a season? Not using that as the sole excuse, but whatever hopes we had, and let's be honest, they weren't real bright. And Nolan, get in here real quick, because we go back to, I don't know, when was it? There was a little uprising there before the All-Star break, I think.
Way before the All-Star.
Yeah,
I mean,
correct,
it was that
correct.
Seattle series.
Yeah, and when you said the Orioles are back. First of all, let me state, I picked the Orioles to go to the World Series. So I'm eating the ultimate turd burger. I mean, they're in last place. And have been for a long, long time. I was hoping they were back. And I was feeling as though they were going to be better. And since the second game of the doubleheader against Boston, May 24th, they have been, 10 games over 500. But they dug themselves such this deep hole. Everybody all right over there? We got breaking news? They dug themselves such this deep hole. They could never get out of it. They just weren't good enough to do so because they've never really had their full complement of players. So, Nolan, we've officially put a bow on the playoff hopes, or a fork, shall we say. Bow is more of a celebratory thing. A fork in the playoff hopes of 25. So, how you feeling today? I know you've been resigned to the fact they're not making the playoffs. They had that dreadful run back in August, which certainly sealed the deal for them, even though they're playing a lot better. I mean, this Toronto sweep aside, they won, four of their last five series, including against some good teams, and I mean, they're showing a pulse, but man, they've been flatlining for the better part of this season.
I think it's mixed feelings today, because being eliminated from the playoffs, while, you know, this is the reality setting in today, we knew this was coming for a long time. We've been mentally preparing for this, you know, they're not going to make the playoffs. We've been resigned to that for a long time. So that's not really the issue. But I say mixed feelings because you're right. They're playing arguably their best brand of baseball here post-trade deadline, which is astonishing considering all the talent that they lost at the trade deadline. And to get guys like Jeremiah Jackson up here, you know, that was an unknown. The knowns in Sam Basayo and Dylan Beavers for them to produce. And all of this to kind of come together and click. I mean, you could argue that they're pitching the best they have all season here. And for Bradish and Wells to look as good as they have in their return. So I'm mixed because it's so disappointing that the season got to this point and that there's a dozen games left in the year and you're already mathematically eliminated. But they're playing this brand of baseball here as of late that has left me a little more encouraged heading into next year. Whereas at one point this season, I just thought it was going to be a complete mess. Nah. I thought they were going to be one of the first teams eliminated in general. They're not. At least four teams ahead of them, I think. Four or five. And I thought that it was going to be pretty doom and gloom going into the offseason. So many tasks ahead, so many needs to fill, and just this complete unknown of how the team is going to gel and play together. But in a small sample size here, you're seeing a glimpse of it, of what this team is capable of.
I've been saying for months, next year, the future's still bright for this team. This is the one-off horrible season. It was unexpected. Built by Mike Elias, and he deserves a lot of the blame, especially with the starting pitching for this becoming a reality. But the injuries are real. Westberg's been on the IL multiple times. Kowser missed 2 months. Tyler O'Neill, another mistake. He has been dreadful when he's played, which has been a rare occurrence. But even when Beavers and Basayo came up, and we talked about it weeks ago, Westberg was still here. Adley was still active. And within, what, 3 days, they both went on the IL? They've never even had that group together looking forward. Mayo had 3 hits. He's finally over the 200 mark, which isn't great, but he hit 2 home runs at Toronto. Kowser's still with the K's. You got to get that going, but he's hitting a bunch of home runs here as of late. Stole his 11th base. There's still an upside, a bright one at that. But as we sit here on September the 17th, and they're mathematically eliminated, we go back to March 17th, nobody saw this coming. And certainly didn't see last place in their future.
No, not at all. I mean, Bob, at the beginning of the season, we were talking about them, and you had them in, you know, World Series. They were World Series contenders.
Oh, odds makers had them as favorites to win the American League East. This is just orange Kool-Aid. But we knew in spring training, looking at the rotation. All right, Eplin's cool. Then Grayson, you know, hit the post after missing the second half of last year. And then he goes down in Florida. We didn't know Morton was going to be as horrible as he was. Sagano was a complete unknown. They were so bad out of the rotation, out of the gate. They just couldn't get it together. I mean, on Easter Sunday, and I was there, give up 23 runs. It was just an amazing thing to watch. Morton finally got it together to the point where he's going to be pitching the playoffs for the Tigers, who are kind of scuffling right now. But they were flawed from the beginning when it came to the rotation. And the Grayson Rodriguez injury out of the gate, totally, because it was Eplin, Rodriguez were 1 and 2, right? Who started opening day? Eplin. Who started day 2?
Morton.
And how did that go? And it all spiraled out of control. Suarez gets hurt in the first series. Westberg gets hurt in the first series. They were slow playing Batista. It was just, in retrospect, or hindsight, looking back at announcing, they kind of didn't really have it
right
to the point they needed to be.
You know what's kind of amazing is, I mean, Bob, and you said it, all the everybody that we had on, national people, can't believe they're not doing much in the offseason. They haven't addressed
with the
pitching.
Rotation,
yeah, they haven't done anything with the pitching. What, you know, because when you're GM and, you know, you're in the offseason, and when you're going in, you know, when you start the season, you're feeling pretty good. I answered them. You know, what do you think Elias was – what was his thinking going in?
Were they all in on re-signing Burns and there was no plan B? Yeah. That's kind of what it looked like. But they signed Morton, what, in January?
Mm-hmm.
So they got him, and Eplin was brilliant for them in the second half of last season. And you didn't expect him to hit the IL three times over the course of the season. Now what do you do with him, by the way, in this offseason? But when we look at that rotation going into that opener against Toronto, who, by the way, is on fire, about to win the American League East, certainly going to the playoffs, even though Bo Bichette's out for the rest of the regular season. All right. Now I get it.
Right.
It's like, come on.
Because you're right. Take yourself back to that moment, the preseason predictions, and fandom aside, we all believe that it was a World Series contender, but that was almost purely off the strength of what we thought the offense was going to be. So when I say angst heading into next year, maybe that's more so with the offense not living up to their true potential. Because you could argue, as bad as the pitching was, the inconsistency offensively, the carryover from the second half of last year, might have been what ultimately doomed them in 2025. And, you know, sure, you got to make all these pitching additions. You're completely overhauling your bullpen this winter. But for the most part, your offensive core is going to stay intact. If you want to consider Beavers and Basayo an addition because they weren't here to start this year, okay, that's fine. But still, it's mostly guys that we already know in-house. If they start slow again next year, even if you make pitching additions, it has to be the offense carrying this team. That's the strength of this team. It has to be. Nah. Pitching has to be better.
Oh, no
doubt about it. But the offense has to carry this team. That's what we expected to carry them this year.
But again, Kowser missed 2 months. Westberg's hit the shelf 3 times.
Well, I think there's angst with that, too.
Yeah, well, injuries, maybe not
like Westberg in particular.
Westberg, certainly. Now, he got plunked last year, broke his wrist, took a pitch, but sprained ankle, hammy here. The tough turf in Toronto got to him. You know what I mean? In the first series of the game, Gunnar's power decrease is something maybe. I'm not really worried about that, per se, but Holiday's ascension into a proven player. I still think the upside for them offensively is incredible. I'm speaking for me, not for Nolan or Vinny or you, the listener. I think the concern is going to be with straightening out the bullpen. Seeing how Perez, what happened to him? Done. Yennier Cano was optioned back to the minors, and he's been terrible all season long. These were two integral parts of two playoff teams back-to-back years and going back to when they hit above 522, and they've been dreadful this year. You made the point about Suarez, talking about him like he was Greg Olson, and he's been a non-factor mainly because of injuries, now with elbow problems. Who knows what his future is going to be at all here with the Orioles. But, yeah, there are a lot of guys you expected to step up in multiple roles who didn't.
Hey, Bob, you know what? One of the positive things, you know, about interviewing GM candidates and stuff, and Al Davis was good at this, and even managers, you learn a lot about your team is what you're going to do, because you have these thoughts. You know, Mike Elias has his thoughts, but you're bringing in all these different people from different organizations, and you're, you know, interviewing. What do you think of my guy? What do you think of this? You know, and be totally honest with them, and, you know, you're going to be like, really?
But,
you know,
and Elias is pretty much still going to be calling the shots.
No, but I'm saying, but he's going to learn
that.
A lot.
Oh, yeah.
Sounding board kind of guy.
And right, hopefully the GM hire in the first place can be that. Just the interview process, sure. But then once that new guy gets hired, that additional voice,
right. Hopefully
that's there throughout the entire year, not just an interview.
Before we get to the break, because clock integrity is important, I have faith that David Rubenstein's going to spend money. He said it when they signed Basayo, kind of unprompted. Like, hey, injuries killed us, and we can sign these kind of deals, even though it's relatively cheap if you get where we're coming from. Question is Elias the guy with assistance from the GM? Elias has proven that he can cultivate talent.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just look at the dugout last night. They're all mainly dudes he brought in that contributed to that win last night, except for Kramer, who was in the Manny trade with Dan Duquette at the 2018. I don't know. Is he good scouting? Is he good in player development? Sure, I think that's been proven in St. Louis and in Houston. But is he a guy, given the blank check, that could go out and make the prudent move. Because if we look at, he gave Laureano 2 years, got your money's worth, traded him to San Diego in a deal that's going to benefit the Orioles, we think, prospect-wise, either here or via the trade route. But the Tyler O'Neill, bad deal. And if O'Neill would have had a monster year, he would have opted out. That was a strange contract. So call me skeptical in that regard.
And then one other, you know, I mean, Bob, we heard it, you know, with the going after pitching, you know, I just don't get it. I mean, it just did not make a lot of sense to me what his game plan was.
That's what we were pretty much talking about from the jump. I mean, here's Charlie Morton. Hey, if he's your fifth starter, great.
Right.
If he's starting your second game, that's a total failure. They were all in on Burns. That failed. And then it didn't seem as though there was a plan.
I know, but we
all... B, C, D, F. They go down the alphabet.
If Arizona got involved, Bob, it was over. You know, I mean, that was the thing with Burns.
Yeah, but nobody expected them to do so. Toronto was about to give him bank.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was just... But my point is, people thinking the Orioles were cheap weren't... Orioles were going to make him the highest paid pitcher, $45 million a year, whatever it was, in the history of baseball. He went home, unfortunately got hurt for the Diamondbacks, who, by the way, are a game and a half out of the last wild card, coming from behind to beat the Giants yesterday. Anyway, we'll get back to that when we come back. You want to join us, you can at 410-583-1057. Orioles mathematically eliminated from the playoffs. If you want to cry in your beer, your coffee, your latte, whatever the hell you drink on a Wednesday morning, get in here at 410-583-1057. You blaming injuries, you blaming Elias. Can't blame Brandon Hyde. He's been gone since the Preakness. But Manzo's been above 500, so does that give him a juice? Hey, the Ravens are taking on the Lions, by the way. Open locker room today, back at practice. Tomorrow, spreads 4.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
So the sports news of the day, because it's a busy day. Orioles got eliminated from the playoffs yesterday. Officially, we kind of knew this was a foregone conclusion. There were some epic games last night in Major League Baseball as this wild card thing is really starting to percolate and get somewhat fascinating. Ravens are taking on the Lions coming up on Monday night, 4.5-point favorites over Detroit. Anything you want to get into, we can at 410-583-1057. Let's get out to the phones. We'll start off today's program in Bel Air with Rob. Rob, what's up?
Hey, what's up? Hey, I'm going to be at the Yankees game Friday and Saturday. Bob, are you working at Pickles on Friday?
I will be at Pickles on Friday. It's our last Friday of the season here at Pickles, unfortunately, because there's no playoff baseball at Pickles for the first time in 3 years. But come on down and say hello.
And no Bob, problem. My wife said she's coming to Pickles Friday, too.
Oh, nice.
She said she's going to come see you.
Oh, that's awesome. Don't come empty-handed, Becky.
I'll tell her.
I don't care who you are. You come empty-handed, I'm going to judge you.
Yeah, because I have a friend coming from Massachusetts, and he's a big Yankees fan, but I'm hoping
Oh, God.
Yeah, but I'm hoping that the Orioles spoil the Yankees.
Well, they do step up against New York, so we'll give them that.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens. Don't forget to wear your Winger World Tour shirt, Bob.
Winger?
isn't that one of your old 80s?
No. I'm Rat Motley Crue. Okay. That's kind of the end of my docking. But Winger wasn't in my wheelhouse.
No. Same with me, White Snake and all them. Yes,
I was cool with White Snake, yes.
Yeah, cool. But, Vinny, I want to ask a question. This has always been my thing. Adafe Owe was drafted as a first-round project from Penn State. Mm-hmm. And I remember your draft report on him even back then. I'm still – this guy's supposed to be, oh, this project and everything else. I'm still waiting for Adafe Owe to come to the party more often. If he's a pass rusher and he's got this incredible speed. Now, the Ravens know better than I do. You remember when the Eagles used to do that wide nine kind of thing when they used to have a guy on the outside? They would know better. With his speed.
Yeah, you saw that with Cleveland last Sunday.
Yes, well, yeah, exactly. With his speed, isn't he better going around like that than he is lining up? Because he doesn't seem to have these great pass rush moves to get to the quarterback. Or I don't know if he's just not strong enough or whatever, but he's the guy they call, he's the almost guy. You know, he almost had him, or he rushed him. Give me your thoughts on Adafe Owe, what you've watched, and tell me if I'm off or is Chuck Smith's a great pass rush guru, but what have you seen from him that you've seen improvement over the years? Thanks, guys.
Hey, thanks, man.
He gets a lot of his stuff by effort, you know, because he is fast and he can chase and he can catch quarterbacks. You know, and what we see in the game, when he's unblocked, you know, he comes hauling butt. That's when he's made some plays. His win rate this year is not great at all. You know, none of them's win, other than Van Ooy, win rate is bad. You know, I mean, because Van Ooy lined up on the right tackle, he whipped him every time. Nobody else got out there and whipped the guy. You know, it's like, come on, the guy sucks. I mean, come on. You know, so yeah, I've been disappointed in Owe. He just hadn't really advanced. You know, I mean, what's his signature move? You know, I don't know what his signature move is. You know, he tries to outside speed, but, you know, he doesn't get there. You know, it's just been disappointing. And I'm going to talk about it on the film, you know, when we do defensive film. That's the biggest disappointment of the game is the pass rush.
Now, go back to Matthew Judon, for instance.
Yeah.
He was the close but no cigar guy when he played for the Ravens. But he was winning. He was just missing them sacks.
Yeah.
And then he finally, you know, broke through in New England. Now, I guess looking for a home. But he won a first-round draft pick. Was he a fifth-round pick from a small school? Matthew Judon, Adafe Owe is coming off a 10-sack season, looking for a big payday. Somebody's going to need to make some splash plays that aren't just a matter of BK. Where are your edge rushers? And now that Van Noy's week to week, whatever that means, what's happening?
Yeah, I mean
are we counting on Ajabo to finally break through like it's Michigan 3 years ago here?
Bob, their best pass rusher so far has been Matabike, and it's not even close. He's had more, you know, pressures, and he's had more hits on the quarterback than anybody, you know, and that's kind of the scary thing right now is with Van Ooy out for probably 3 weeks, I'm guessing, with a hammy, where's it coming from? Because Mike Green is not close yet. He should have dominated, you know, against those guys. I mean, I got clips of him getting knocked to the ground and, you know, and stuff. It wasn't good. It wasn't good. I mean, you know, Ajabo's going to come, and the thing that Ajabo's been is, Bob, I mean, he's like Mr. Paint by the Numbers, you know. He stands up, and then, you know, they get too tall. You watch Green Bay, you know, and you watch Micah Parsons. You know, his athletic, like, he's so quick off the snap that he jumps inside, beats people inside. I mean, our guys are, like, slow off the ball, you know, quicker with your feet and quick, you know, I mean, just, they're not there yet. They're not there yet.
And they're going to have to get there sooner or later because you have a pretty high-powered offense coming up Monday
night. Yeah, and the secondary's been covered, but you can't cover all day.
5780-1057, the Fan, Nolan McGraw. It is Woman Crush Wednesday. You want to get in, you can at 410-583-1057. Got Vinny's film breakdown of the Ravens' offense first, because for the second straight game, they put up over 40 points, doing most of that damage in the second half. And we'll talk about, you know, what Cleveland was doing to contain that thing in the first half of the game. Cordell Woodland's going to be joining us. Preview the Ravens and Lions. Again, open locker room. No practice till tomorrow. So tomorrow's back to normal C because it's a Monday night game. Whip around 11:15. And then Jeff Ehrman, InsideMDSports.com. Preview Maryland, Wisconsin. That spread's actually going up a point. Where the Ravens spread's going down a point. Maryland, Wisconsin's going up a point. Are we that scared of Billy Edwards Jr.?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Breaking down every last second of game tape for Sunday's matchup. Enter Vinny's film room.
Ravens are 1-1 after handling their business this past Sunday against the Cleveland Browns. 30th anniversary season opener, honoring the 75 Colts. A lot of Ravens Hall of Famers and All Pros were there. And Baltimore, after a slow start offensively, got it together and wound up winning this game, going away, avoiding that Raiders debacle from 2024. That being said, even though the stat line for Lamar was glorious, maybe he wasn't as sharp as he should have been, and Cleveland might have had a lot to do with it. Let's not forget Ravens only rushed for 45 yards. So let's break this thing down, Ravens offense film study.
Yeah, when I was watching the All-22, what kind of came to my mind is that, you know what? I don't know, Bob, that the offensive line will face a better defensive front seven. I don't know that they will. You know, quickness, you know, their scheme and everything, and their sellout to stop the run. It's pretty strong. I mean, because those guys get up the field, and they've got some pretty quick athletes, you know, big, quick athletes, D linemen, and they got linebackers that can run and DBs that'll hit. So I think it was a very tough, you know, I'll guarantee you the O-liner like, Jesus Christ, I'm glad that one's over with, because it was physical for them. You know, and I thought all the O-linemen at times got overpowered. All of them got overpowered. Voorhees, a few times in the past, he got whipped by 96. Linderbaum, he got whipped at times. Linderbaum got whipped. You know, Ronnie got beat. The thing that, you know, the chipping by linebackers and running backs wasn't great. I mean, Justice Hill, you know, a couple of times, you know, Ronnie, I think Ronnie's kind of expecting a little, just to give me a shoulder or something, and got nothing, you know. So I think those were all issues with the offensive line. And you say, well, why couldn't they run it? Well, they had eight men up there, eight against seven most of the time. So you're going to lose that. And then when they're attacking and they're more physical, they're on your side of the line of scrimmage. And what do you got to do to Derek? Don't let him get going. And he had a hard time getting going because the O-linemen were catching. They were catching and they were in the backfield. And, you know, Kolar and Mark Andrews are not great knock-you-off-the-ball type guys. You know, and neither's Payton. So it was not a good matchup for the Ravens. And Bob, if they didn't get the defensive field position and defensive scores and, you know, the special team stuff, would have been a much different game. And, you know, I mean, if Cleveland had an offense whatsoever, then, you know, Cleveland would be a totally different team, because right now they got the number one defense in the league, and rightfully so. Now, the receivers-wise, I thought that Zay gets hard to cover because he's so quick, changing directions and stuff. So he's always going to create separation. And Lamar got into a comfort zone with him. Why? Because he was making plays for him all over the field. Because what happens when it's zone coverage, you know, a quarterback, a lot of times if corner's off or whatever, you can go to either side. You know, like Andrews ran like a quick dig, you know, like just a wide turnout, and Andrews would have been open, or he had the outcut to Zay, all right, in that game, and I think it was like in the third quarter. I'm going to Zay. Why? Because he's caught me six balls. So I think those are some of the things. Why is Andrews not getting the ball? You know, coverage dictates a lot of that, and he was open a couple times, you know, against zone coverage. Against man, he struggled some there. Now, Henry could never get going. I mean, there was always orange in his face. You know, he got a couple times where he got going, you know, and it was well blocked. You know, and I thought, and I don't want to criticize Derrick Henry on, you know, picking holes, but looked like a couple times he missed, you know, would have been the hole, but I'm not going to criticize
him. Where was the RPO on Sunday?
You know what? They tried it a couple times, Bob. Like, on the one that there was one where, remember when Lamar ran way to the right and they kind of pulled his pants down?
Oh, yeah.
If he cuts it back in.
They pantsed him.
Yeah. If he cut it back in, because there was three guys to the outside. He cuts it back in, you know, he'd have been there. But, Bob, the RPOs, I mean, they were coming down hard to the back. And then they had, because they had eight up there, so there was a safety or a corner right there. So there was nothing to get there. The best plays they, I mean, Bob, the plays that they made, like the one to D-hop down to the one-yard line, I mean, that was a prayer. I mean, because he was scrambling, and he just threw a prayer up. And the thing was, you know what the offense did? The receiver, they made plays. They made plays. D-hop made two plays that most people don't make. Because, Bob, it was like Kyle Hamilton against Kelsey in the championship game. Was, you know, when Kelsey caught that one in the end zone, Hamilton couldn't have covered him any better.
No doubt.
And that's what it was with the, you know, I mean, Newsom's probably saying, the hell do I got to do? And D-Hop just made two plays. That's what he did. You know, otherwise, they're punting. You know, was it a great throw? Yeah. And it was a great play. You know, so that was a lot of it. The offense just made some plays is what they did, you know. And then Tez Walker, that was a hell of a route by him, the corner route, you know, and it was a great throw. It was a great throw. But Tez is fast and he's big. And his one in the end zone was real nice because he created a lot of separation there on that fourth down play. And nobody else was open. So that was otherwise Lamar was going to have to put his shoulder down and go take it up in there. But overall, wasn't a great game for the offense because they took the run away. And they says, you know, you got to beat us throwing. And they've got some corners that are good. So the throws had to be perfect because there wasn't a lot of separation there. I mean, you saw when a lot of guys running wide open, not on Ward and Newsom, they weren't. You know, on 26, the nickelback. And that's what Todd did. He attacked the nickelback, you know, quite often. So, I mean, offensively, wasn't a great day. You know, they got 41 points.
Yep.
And Flowers made plays, and D-Hop made some great plays, and Tez Walker made plays, man. I mean, that was it. Because the offensive line, I'll guarantee you, they were sore that next day.
Real quick before we hit the break, through two games, who is the shakiest offensive lineman been?
Kind of pick your point. At times, Bob, I mean, it's either Voorhees or Falele. One of the two guards, you know, and Voorhees is better and Filet. Both of them are better, Bob, in the run than the pass. And then against Cleveland, that's their worst nightmare. You know why it's their worst nightmare? Because they're athletic guys with quickness, and that was that's Filele's kind of kryptonite, is athleticism against him.
It's 5-8-8-1-0-5-7, the Fan, Nolan McGraw, other side of the glass. Hear more from him as the show goes on. Coming up at 11 o'clock, Cordell Woodland's going to be joining us. Whip around 11:15, and then Jeff Berman, InsideMDSports.com. Terps are 3-0 for the fourth time in 5 years, off to Wisconsin on Saturday at noon. It's on NBC and here at 105.7 The Fan. Terps getting 10.5 points on the road at 410-583-1057. Orioles White Sox series finale coming up today, 2 o'clock in Chicago. Birds go for the sweep. Tyler Wells looking for his second win of the year against Martin Perez for Chicago. Birds win last night 8-7, holding off Chicago after being up 8-2. Sammy Basayo, Dylan Beavers both hit two-run jacks. Gunnar Henderson had some offensive thump. He's driving in two runs. Keegan Aiken got the Birds out of a jam there in the ninth inning. And then Dee Kramer picked up his 10th win of the season after missing a start. We'll talk more about that with Jim Hunter later in the program, 12:30, as a matter of fact, our colleague here on BBT. And if you're going to blame one person or one thing, that doesn't have to be a person or just one reason, I guess, best, why the Orioles are eliminated from the playoffs on September 17th instead of marching towards the postseason, what would it be? Just one, not 50. Is it injuries? Is it Elias? Is it a guy not performing up to snuff? Anything you want to get into, we'll do that later in the show as well. Cordell Woodland's going to be joining us top of the hour. Stick around for that, but let's go to Mitch in New Jersey. Mitch, thanks for holding. What's up?
Good morning, guys. Bob, Vinny, thanks for taking my call. Yep. Hope everything's well. I want to get your college boy. I hope Maryland's ahead of Notre Dame because, they were 0-1, and they were ranked. I'm surprised they're not ranked number 5, being 0-2. And you got a good quarterback in Maryland. I like that freshman.
Oh, he's looking good so far, no doubt.
I know, 3-0, like my USC. And with Baltimore, you think they'd be going on a couple of hitters that I know be a free agent. It was Suez, I know he's a little over 30, but Josh Naylor can play left field, and he's under 30. And he's got some speed in the base pads. If you see, he's got some stolen bases, and he drives in a lot of RBIs. That would help us. Just last year, the year before, you guys were really hitting the heck out of the ball. The offense was great.
Yeah, well, last year they were one of the best teams in regards to home runs and runs per game and all of that good stuff. They sucked with runners in scoring position. One of the keys to their offense 2 years ago, the Orioles, was they were number one in baseball with runners in scoring position. And they were winning close games and extra inning games and all that good stuff. That all goes, I mean, when you win 101 games, a lot of things work in your favor. This year, a lot of things went against them for sure. All right, Mitch.
All right, man. All right, you have a nice one.
All right, well, thank you very much. And Mitch, a USC fan.
Yeah.
At 3-0. Mm-hmm. Notre Dame, I guess, easy to pick on them. And Maryland, should they be ranked ahead of Notre Dame? Maryland's got to beat someone. Yeah. Even if they beat Wisconsin, they're not going to be ranked. No. Maryland's got to stack at least another 2-3 wins and see what else happens within the confines of the top 25 before we even get into Maryland being ranked. Great to see.
Yeah.
Because I got to be honest with you, and we've said it on the air, I didn't think they were going to win 4 or 5 games tops this season. Now here they are, 3 wins away from bowl eligibility. And bowl projections, I saw it this morning on ESPN, one's got them going to the Rate Bowl.
The which one?
The Rate. Used to be the Guaranteed Rate Bowl. The Rate Bowl. Mine out of the gutter, Penny. And the other one's got them going to the Yankee Stadium one against North Carolina.
Well, they know that one well.
Yeah, but I mean, wouldn't it be wild, Loxie against Belichick?
Yeah.
Coming up in late December. But let's handle your business. We'll talk about the Terps coming up at the bottom of the hour with Jeff Berman from InsideMDSports.com. Cordell Woolen's joining us next, however. Stick around for that. We got news from the Nest at noon. Jim Hunter talking Orioles. We got our heroes of the week for the National Football League Week 3. Not necessarily what the league's going to pick, who is the best offensive, defensive player, and rookie of the week. We'll give ours, so stick around for that. But if you're going to blame one thing for the Orioles not getting to the playoffs, thing or person or reason, what is it?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.